Hey, this is Kyle Eidelman from Southeast Christian Church, and I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures together, I pray that this message inspires you, challenges you, and is the right word at just the right time in your life. Enjoy the message.
God, we declare that our hope is in you this morning. And as we study in Romans, you are the only hope that doesn't disappoint. You're the only hope that can really hold us up. And I know there are plenty of people in here today who have come in and they feel let down. They feel discouraged by life circumstances or the people around them. And so God, we are just reminded that our hope is in you and you alone. Our hope isn't in this world. Our hope is in heaven. Our hope is in the fact that you died and you were buried and then you walked out of your own grave, that you rose from the dead, you conquered death. And if you can do that, then anything's possible. And so I pray, God, that the resurrection that we celebrate today is not just some religious ritual, that we're not just looking back on something that happened in the past, but that we would experience the power of the resurrection in our own lives today, that there are some things that are dead that would come back to life today, that you would give us new life, new beginning, that you would give us new hope, new joy, new peace, that you would give us new forgiveness and mercy because of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Over the years, when we sit down as a family to have a dinner together, my wife will on occasion pull out some cards, these conversation starters, different questions, so we can hear from different people. Sometimes she passes them out, sometimes you draw them randomly. And some of the questions are kind of light and fun, right? Like one question was, would you rather eat nothing but pizza or nothing but ice cream for an entire year? Like if you had to choose between nothing but pizza, nothing but ice cream, which would you choose for a whole year? There's a right answer, in case you're wondering. But I wanna give you a chance to give your opinion on this. So on the count of three, pizza or ice cream? One, two, three.
Pizza!
Yeah, you're right, it's pizza. Pizza's the right answer. I can make my case. Like I don't wanna relive the whole debate we had, but you can put anything on pizza and still pizza. It's my argument. I've had lobster pizza, macaroni and cheese pizza, hamburger pizza. I've had ice cream pizza. But I've never had pizza ice cream, so I think that settles it. Some of the questions are a little heavier, a little more thought-provoking like this one. If there was one thing about yourself that you could change, what would you change? It's a little quieter suddenly, but you've got something. And if you don't have something, people around you have something for you. Like we all have some things that we wish could be a little bit different. And kind of in the spirit of those questions, I want to start with a question that I hope will be personal. I hope it'll be thought-provoking. It's kind of a classic question, meaning that it's been asked for generations to help people think about their relationship with Jesus and to help people be more intentional about being prepared for eternity. Kind of this classic question that is also, you know, the most important question you'll ever answer. Here it is. If you were to die tonight and find yourself in front of God and God said, why should I let you into heaven? How would you respond to that? Like try not to let that just be a hypothetical Easter sermon question, but just personally, can you answer that? If you were to stand before God tonight, I don't mean 5-10 years from now, because you like me probably have some ways that you're gonna try to get some stuff together, some good things you're gonna do between now and whenever that day is. I'm saying if it was tonight and you stood before God and he said, why should I let you into heaven? How would you answer? Statistically, there are a couple of answers to that question, popular answers. One answer is, God, I've tried really hard to be a good person. God, I did my best. And maybe in your mind, you'll stand before God one day and you'll make your case. God, here are the good things I've done. Here are the good intentions I've had. The second answer to that statistically is, well, God, I believe in you and I've tried to do your will. Even a lot of Christians who hear that are like, well, yeah, isn't that the right answer? Believing in God is obviously essential, and then trying to do his will. Like it's believing in God plus doing enough of what he wants you to do. And if you do enough of what he wants you to do, then, I mean, won't that get you in? Well, Romans chapter 5 talks to us about this. It talks to us about how we can, and I love this phrase out of Romans 5, how we can be a friend of God. We've been going through the book of Romans in 2024, and we come to chapter 5 where Paul talks to us about how we can have that kind of connection with him. At the beginning of this series, when we started in Romans in January, I used a metaphor that I want to come back to. I saw this, discovered this when I was in Rome. There's a temple in Rome built to the temple goddess of justice. It was built by Emperor Tiberius during the time of Jesus. And it's interesting to see some of the images from that temple because the goddess of justice, who they call Justitia, it's very similar image to Our Lady Justice, where she has her eyes blindfolded and she holds out the scales. One of the things we have in common with ancient Rome is like we have this value that you get what you deserve. Ideally, it shouldn't matter who you are or where you're from, like you should get what you deserve. Gets put on the scales and you see how you come out. And I think that's probably the image a lot of us have when we answer the question of why should I be led into heaven? We have this image of scales and we think one day we're gonna stand before God and he's gonna pull out the scales. And he's gonna put our life on the scales. And everything bad you've ever said, done, or thought will be on one side. And everything good you've ever thought, said, or done will be on the other. And you're just gonna have to hope that you've done enough. You're gonna have to hope that you've earned enough. And so could you just take a minute and put your life on the scales? So on one side are the wrong things you've done. Maybe you think, well, I yelled at a waiter, got upset because my meal wasn't cooked quite right. But you know what? I've been pretty patient with my kids lately. This needs a little help. Now it's okay. Or maybe you think, you know, I've been manipulative, I've gossiped, I've lied, trying to get my way. But I've also tried to be kind and encouraging. That's enough. That should balance things out. I've been selfish in how I've spent my money, my time. I've put myself ahead of others. But, I mean, you should have seen me in the parking lot a few minutes ago. I was so patient. Just ask my family, they'll tell you. And we hope it'll balance out. I hope we've done enough. See, I think this is how we intuitively think it'll go down. I'll stand before God, and hopefully the good will outweigh the bad. And this is how some of you have lived your whole lives. And for some of you, you grew up in religious systems that they reinforced this as a way to put fear, as a way to control you. They said, look, you just gotta do more and more. Well, is this enough? Well, I don't know, you better do more. And it wasn't loving God and serving God out of his love for you, it was trying to earn God's favor. And so you kept the rituals and you followed all the traditions hoping, well, that's gotta be worth something. And maybe you're hoping God grades on the curve, and so you look at other people's lives and it's more like this. And you're like, well, at least I don't look like that, so that should help me. Or maybe God just looks on what's on the outside and I put on a pretty good performance, I can put on a pretty good show, maybe that's how he judges me. And we're hoping in the end that it all balances out, but the Bible would just make it really clear that it's not about the scales, that you can never do enough good to outweigh the bad. The Bible says that if you've committed one sin, you're guilty of breaking all of them. So our problem is not a scale problem, our problem is a sin problem. Something's gotta be done about our sins if we're gonna be right with God, if we're gonna be friends of God, if we're gonna spend eternity with him, something has to be done about our sins. And maybe the approach you've taken is just to pretend like it's not a thing. Like just to pretend like God doesn't really care and no, there's not really any such thing as sin. I can do what I want to. And so you try to act like everything is good with you and God, but you know it's not. It hasn't been for a while and he's felt distant because that's what sin does. It separates us from God. A few days ago, I got on a plane to Denver, Colorado. It was gonna be a 3-hour flight. I was in this middle seat that didn't recline. So I knew it was gonna be a long flight. But before I boarded, I was walking around the airport, you know, just trying to stretch my legs. I don't sit still well, so I'm trying to burn some energy, feeling a little sorry for myself about the middle seat that doesn't recline. And then I see a guy in the airport who's walking around the airport with his dog. And I'm like, okay, well, it could be worse. Like I could be in a middle seat with a dog. And it Came time to board, I went and found my middle seat that doesn't recline. And I'm waiting for my seatmate. I have certain hopes of who that might be, feeling like God and I have an understanding about these things. Thinking it'll be someone small in stature, small framed individual, you know, a child, quiet child, that's healthy, but maybe looks a little malnourished. I'm not a malnourished child, but a healthy child that just looks a little malnourished. Just somebody's not gonna take up a lot of space, not make a lot of noise. And I see the dude with the dog come around the corner, and he's on my flight. I look around, there aren't a lot of empty seats left. He gets closer and closer, and with each step he gets closer to me, I hear God saying, "This will be good for you, Kyle. This will be good for you, and we're gonna enjoy watching it from up here, so." And this guy sits down right next to me. And I'm gonna show you a picture I took about 30 seconds after he sat down. This is a picture of my feet. Those aren't his feet. Like, so this dog's tail isn't in my space. The dog is sitting on my white shoes. Now here's what was incredible to me about this whole thing is the guy didn't acknowledge it. So he sits down and he starts talking to me about Denver, super friendly. Starts telling me about the Airbnb he's gonna stay at, even shares with me about an injury he had that makes it hard for him to ski. Like, he's wanting to connect. I'm like, your dog is on my feet. Can we talk about that and then we can talk about this, right? In my mind, that's what I'm thinking. I don't say anything, partly because I knew Easter was coming. And I felt like this could be a good story. I'm just gonna let it ride. And so I took a few other pictures for the trip. I thought I'd show you, there's this one. You do it. And then there's this one, which I think that's manipulation. Like, I think that dog's just being difficult. Like, side eye. That's a side eye to me. She's saying to me, you know, you're in my seat, right? And so we are like this for quite a while on the flight, and he's just not saying anything. Finally, he does acknowledge it. He's like, "Hey, sometimes she gets a little gassy on flights." I'm like, "Really? Like, that's how we're gonna lean into this?" Now, here's what I would just tell you. Until he dealt with that, it was gonna be hard for me to have much of a conversation with him, right? Like, until he acknowledged, "Hey, my dog's sitting on your feet," it was gonna be hard for us to build a quality friendship. And so what I think a lot of us do is we don't wanna address the thing that's between us and God. We don't wanna address our part in it. We wanna pretend like everything's okay. We try to pick back up on things, and God's like, "Well, what about this? And what about this?" And the truth is, our scales are way out of balance, that sin has created the separation from God. It has to be dealt with. Romans 3:23 tells us the truth about our spiritual condition. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of God's standard." For all of us have sinned. All of us have scales that are out of balance. And it doesn't matter how hard we try and how much work we do. It doesn't matter the acts of righteousness we perform. It doesn't matter how many times you've gone to church or mass or how many prayers you've prayed. Like, that's not what makes us right with God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, that what we deserve for our sin is eternal separation from God. So how do we fix the scales? Well, here's what I would tell you, is that ultimately, it's not about the scales. The scales don't determine our friendship with God. Instead, it's about the cross. It's not about what we've done or not done. It's about what's been done for us. Romans 5, verse 1 explains it. "Therefore, since we who have put our faith in Jesus have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God." We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We have peace with God because of what Jesus has done. It's not about what we've done, it's about what he has done. He has made us right so that when God sees us, if we've put our faith in Jesus, he doesn't see our sin. Instead, Jesus takes our sin upon himself, and then he gives us his righteousness. And so when God looks at us, he sees us who've put our faith in him as free from sin, without blemish, without defect. And he sees the righteousness of Jesus that has been put into our account. It's not the scales, it's the cross that answers this question. So when someone is asked, "Why should I be allowed into heaven? The answer is because I have put my faith in Jesus and what he's done for me. When Billy Graham, right before he died, had his last interview, they asked him this classic question, why do you believe God will let you into heaven? And here was his answer. He said, I won't be in heaven because I've preached to large crowds or because I've tried to live a good life. I'll be in heaven for one reason. Many years ago, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to make our forgiveness possible and rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. That's it. And so we put our faith, not in the scales, we put our faith on the cross. And there's so much freedom. There's so much hope. And some of you who come in and you're visiting, we are so glad to have you. And you look around at people worshiping and you're like, man, it seems a little strange to me. Like, I don't quite get all the excitement. Well, everything we've done that has separated us from God has been forgiven because of Jesus. And we have been made friends of God, not because we're better, not because we've earned it or deserve it, but because of what Jesus has done. We're friends of God. How do you not celebrate that good news? Romans 5 verse 6 goes on to say, when we were utterly helpless, when we couldn't save ourselves, Christ came just at the right time and he died for us sinners. Verse 7, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. Someone who's especially good, maybe somebody would die. But verse 8 says, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Jesus didn't wait for your scales to look like this and say, okay, I guess you've done your part. No, Jesus came when our lives were like this, when we were furthest from him, before we got ourselves right, before we got put on the right path, before we got a little bit cleaned up. And so that means we can come to him just as we are. He expressed his love for us, not by waiting till we were good enough to offer us his gift, but by offering us the free gift when we were furthest from him. That's how God shows us his love. So verse 9 says, we have been made right in God's sight. It's been wiped clean. Verse 11, so now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us, here it is, friends of God. Jesus has made us friends of God, and that's what we celebrate this Easter. That peace with God, friendship with God is possible. That we can live this life with a hope that cannot be taken away because this life is short, it's but a breath, and we have the promise of eternal life that has been secured for us if we've put our faith in Jesus. Nothing can rob us of that hope. Nothing can take away that joy because of what Jesus has done for us. And so Romans makes it clear that we are made right with God through faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross. We celebrate that this Easter. And Romans 6, the very next chapter, expresses how we show that faith. One of the ways that we express our faith is through baptism. So Romans chapter 6, the beginning of that chapter, Paul says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were, here it is, baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, this is a beautiful picture that when someone is baptized, they are expressing their faith in Jesus. Baptism doesn't save someone. Jesus saved someone, but it's through faith. And one way that we express our faith in Jesus is by being baptized. And when we're baptized, we're identifying ourselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So when someone is baptized and they're under the water, sometimes that's called a watery grave, right? Like the old is gone, Paul says in Romans 6. The guilt, the shame, the secrets, the fear, the anxiety, it's buried. And then comes new life with Jesus, filled with hope and peace and joy, salvation. A few years ago, I got a message about an older lady who had visited our church one time a few years earlier. And before that, she hadn't been to church since she was a little girl. And she asked if one of the pastors could come visit her because she didn't have much time left. She's dying of cancer. Hospice had already been called in. She was down to her final days. And so I went to go meet her, visit her at her house. And when I knocked on the door, the husband of more than 50 years opened the door and welcomed me in, although I could tell he was not sure about any of this. I liked him right away though, because he was direct. He pulls me into a side room. before taking me in to meet his wife, and he says, how much is this gonna cost me? And I was so taken back by it. I'm like, what do you mean? How much is this gonna cost you? He said, how much is it gonna cost me for you to sign off on this and have my wife be a part of your church before she dies? And I said, that is not at all how this works. He went on, he said, I want her to feel better about whatever it is that happens after she dies. So you help her feel better about that, and I'm happy to write you a check. And I said, you know, I'm not gonna take a penny from you. I'm not even gonna take gas money from you. That's not how it works. And so he walked me into the room where his wife was in a wheelchair. And clearly, physically, you could see she was down to her final days. And I open up the Bible to Romans 3, and I start with the truth. You are a sinner. And her husband's like, whoa, hey, that's not why you're here. Like, this is the opposite of what I wanted you to do. And I'm like, no, this is the diagnosis. Like, there's a cure, but before you receive the cure, you gotta be honest about the diagnosis. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Romans 3:23. Flip over to Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. It's true for all of us. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free and gracious gift of God. Not because you earned it, not because you deserved it. It's the free gift of God. Romans 8 verse 1, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, because of what Jesus has done, one day you stand before God and there is no condemnation. You're not condemned. The scales don't condemn you. The cross saves you. Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Put your faith in Jesus, confess that he is Lord. And then I showed her in Romans 6 how baptism is this picture of the old life being buried and new life in Christ. And tears rolled down her cheek, and she said, I want that, I really do. I just wish it wasn't too late for me. I had my chance, but it's been too many years. I just wish it wasn't too late. And I said, no, I have some really great news. It is never too late. As long as you're living and breathing, it is not too late. And so she prayed with me, and she confessed her faith in Jesus. And after the prayer, almost the moment it was over, she said, and I wanna be baptized, and I wanna do it tonight. And I wasn't sure physically that was even a possibility. And I could tell her husband felt like that wasn't a good idea in her fragile condition. So he tried to let her down gently. He said, sweetheart, the church isn't open tonight. And I said, I have a key. And so we met at the church. We met here that evening and she was baptized. And it was this picture of the celebration that we are experiencing this weekend is a picture of Easter. The dead is gone, the new has come. Not because she did it, not because she earned it, it's because of what Jesus has done for her. To say in your answer to that question, well, I believe in God and I've also tried to, the minute you start to make it about you, you start to undermine his sacrifice. It's like Jesus pays our debt in full and we, let me cover some of this. You can't cover it. It's only his sacrifice. It's the perfect sacrificial lamb who takes away the sins of the world. But when someone is baptized, it's just a picture of Easter. So we've just allowed some time in our Easter services to celebrate Easter by experiencing resurrection in this room. So that the resurrection isn't just something that happened a long time ago, but you're gonna see resurrection in this room. You're gonna see old things go away and new life come. Over the last number of days, I've just witnessed it again and again. Last hour, a 96-year-old lady came forward to be baptized. That kind of takes away whatever excuse you might have. Someone else came forward to be baptized who couldn't walk. And we have a baptism wheelchair back there that I didn't even know was a thing. And it was brought out, and I was so humbled by her obedience and faith. Just one story after another, people expressing my confidence is in Jesus. New life is in him. So a few questions as we get ready for this is who should be baptized? Well, everyone who believes in Jesus and has decided to put their faith in him. Acts 2 connects baptism with repentance, that We don't come to Jesus to be baptized after we get our lives all cleaned up and put together. We come to him as we are with the spirit that says, I want to live for you. And he helps align our lives with his word and his will. It's a decision that you can only make for yourself. Some of you were baptized as a baby or a child. You don't remember it. Somebody kind of made that decision for you. And I appreciate the fact that they wanted to commit your life to loving God and following Jesus, but they can't do that. You're saved by grace through your faith, not through someone else's faith. And so it has to be your decision. It's your commitment. And that decision and commitment doesn't take away from their love and hope for you. In fact, in many ways, it just affirms it. But it needs to be your decision. Another question is, well, do I have to be baptized? Do I have to be baptized? If what you mean by that is like, is this just a suggestion? Is this just like a good idea? I mean, I get that it's a neat picture of the resurrection and old is gone, new has come, but I mean, do I have to do it? Well, the Bible makes it clear that this is not just a suggestion, it's a command. And so to put your faith in Jesus but not be obedient in baptism is to not obey God. Some of you are waiting to be absolutely convinced, but Jesus wants you to come to him by faith. We're saved by faith in Jesus. And some of you are waiting to get your life together, but Jesus wants you to come just as you are. And maybe you think it's too late, or I've waited too long, or I've messed up too many times. Those are lies. Those are lies. This is for you. Easter is for you. The resurrection is for you. The invitation has your name on it. Another question I get sometimes is, well, when should I be baptized? Well, when you believe in Jesus and you want to commit your life to him, you don't pass a test first. You don't have to get your life fixed up first. And there should be an immediacy to this decision. So in the book of Acts, thousands of people are baptized. And as near as I can tell, with the exception of one person, everyone was baptized on the same day they believed. Meaning that they woke up that day, didn't know they were getting baptized. They came to a point of conviction or belief in Jesus and they were baptized that same day. The exception is the apostle Paul, who was baptized 3 days later because there was no one there to baptize him when he came to a place of belief. So there's a way that we honor God with the immediacy of obedience. I have loved hearing story after story of people who said, well, I didn't know I was gonna do this. I've been thinking about it for a while. Didn't know I was gonna do it today. Today's the day. I baptized a lady Saturday night, who came on Thursday and knew that's what God wanted her to do, but she didn't do it. Came back, was obedient on Saturday. I love those stories. And so maybe this wasn't on your calendar, but maybe this was on God's calendar for your life. Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have what I need. Well, we got everything you need. Maybe you think that water is cold. No, it's 90 degrees. It's a little warm, if we're being honest. The message started with a simple question. If you died tonight and God asked you, why should I let you into heaven? How would you respond? What I know is that there are some of you who heard that question and just dismissed it. Some of you rolled your eyes at it. But the truth is, there will be a day where we stand before God. And there's only one right answer. It's not to point to the scales. Think in that moment you'd compare yourself to other people as a way to make your case. So foolish. Instead, we point to the cross. My hope would be that on that day, there'd be some of you that would get a smile on your face and you'd remember Easter 2024 and say, I believe in Jesus. And I've put my faith in what he's done for me. So if you're ready to express your faith in Jesus by being baptized, then you can go to this next step room over here. Some folks are already going, that's great. You can head right over there. And we want this to be a celebration of the resurrection. So would you just, as you see people being baptized, the old life is gone, new life is coming, would you just celebrate the power of new life in Jesus? The resurrection isn't just something that happened a long time ago. It's something that can happen right here and right now. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you have given us a way to just express our faith in you. We are saved by grace through faith in you. And yet, Lord, you have asked us to be obedient in how we express that faith. And I thank you for an opportunity where we get to see that. Every person who's baptized is declaring Easter. Every person is identifying with your death, burial, and resurrection. And so I just pray for a great celebration here today. God, you have done for us what we could never do for ourselves. You've taken away our sin. You've given us the righteousness of Jesus. We celebrate today because our confidence is not in the scales. Our confidence is in the cross. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If today's message made you realize you need to take your next step with Jesus, we would love to help you with that. You can connect with us on any of our social media platforms throughout the week or visit our website at southeastchristian.org. And if you want to hear more content like this, you can check out our sermons podcast or our One at a Time podcast. Both can be found everywhere podcasts are available. Have a great week.